in the morning a song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Do please be seated. It's not the same when you can't sing, is it? It's not the same. We'll get there. But it's a great delight, a great joy to be here in person rather than some flickering image on a TV screen or computer monitor, but a welcome to those for whom that is how they're joining us this evening. It's great to be among you, to not so much to welcome Francis, because we've sort of already done that, but great to see Francis and Georgina and Tom and Sam and Zoe here tonight. But to welcome you to this new phase and new guise as you take on the incumbency here. I was thinking earlier, as people were drifting in with their faces covered, it's a nightmare because you now have to recognize people from their hairstyles and their eyes. which is quite a challenge. And it reminds me, as I drive past here, I come past Sainsbury's. My nightmare is being in Sainsbury's and meeting somebody who I recognise, but out of context, can't quite work out who they are. And it reminds me of a lovely story that Sir Thomas Beecham used to tell of himself, where he was at a concert afterwards. He was talking to somebody, and he knew her. He knew her. So he was asking all those tentative questions to try and work out who she was. So she said, "Are you well?" And she said, "Yes, I'm well." And your husband, is he well? Yes, he's well. And is he still in the same line of work? Yes, he's still king. One thing I want to say that's hugely important is that God is still king. Jesus is Lord. And though times are strange and things are weird and we find ourselves doing things we've never done before, God is still God. When we met as an area team this morning, as we meet, we always spend some time reflecting on a passage of Scripture, and this morning it was Luke 5, 1-11, with the miraculous catch of fish and Jesus calling the first disciples. And I was really struck by that Peter turning to Jesus and calling him master. You know, you're the boss, effectively, he says. We'll do what you say. And today is a day where Francis effectively says to God, not to me, you're the boss, and I'm doing what you say. And I hope it's a day when that's what we all say. And it's a great opportunity, particularly in the midst of all that's going on, to remind ourselves that Jesus is still Lord, that God is still King, that he's sovereign, and that we do what God says. We've come together in the presence of God to institute Francis to the ministry he will share, to pray for him, his family, and for those who minister with him, and to dedicate ourselves afresh to the service of God in this community, and to the call which God makes of each one of us. So let us therefore wait humbly upon God, giving thanks for all that God has done and asking forgiveness for those ways in which we have failed each other, our communities, and God.
Lord Jesus, you said to your disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, we know that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you appointed us to go out and bear fruit that will last. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the God of love bring you back to himself, forgive you your sins, and assure you of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you and all those who with prayer have been involved in the appointment of Francis to this benefice.
Francis, do you believe, so far as you know your own heart, that God has called you to serve him?
I believe that God has called me.
Will you commit yourself to the mission and ministry of the people in this place to further the kingdom of God?
With the help of God, I will.
If you turn and face the congregation, remembering those who are joining in at home as well. People of God, will you support and uphold Francis in his ministry now and in the years to come? Will you stir up the gift of God which is in you to work with Francis for the building of God's kingdom? And so let us pray. God our Father, Lord of all the world, through your Son you have called us into the fellowship of your universal church. Hear our prayer for your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry each may be an instrument of your love. And give to your servant Francis now to be instituted the needful gifts of grace. For our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 17. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says, are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place, with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Nathan reported to David all these words of this entire revelation. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom would never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I want to say together with Bishop Roger what a delight it is to be here tonight. And to say what a joyful time this is to be here at the institution of Francis as the vicar. A year ago, you were instituted as an associate, and David Banting, who helps me with pastoral work in the northern province, was preaching, and I know he would have loved to have been here personally tonight, but he's watching online, so greetings go to him. It's going to be lovely to get to know your family a little bit as well, Francis. I've only heard about you. I haven't actually met you, so it'll be very good to get to know you in due course. I'm going to focus for our reflection tonight on that passage from Luke chapter 1. One of the joys of being in ministry is that, as any preacher will know, you spend quite a lot of time in God's Word, and you always gain far more from your study than you are ever able to preach, or ever should preach, come to that. But some of the things you discover in the study can be quite disturbing.
when you really wrestle with a piece of scripture and then you discover it's saying something that can be quite unwelcome. And I remember, the reason I'm saying this is that I remember preparing for Christmas sermons, and it wasn't this particular passage, but it could have easily been from Luke 1. I remember preparing for a Christmas sermon and reading a blog by Ian Paul, who pointed out that Jesus probably never lay in a wooden manger in a cattle stall, but in fact was highly likely to have been staying on the lower floor of a house filled with his relatives and laid in the depression in the ground floor where straw would be kept for the animals. And, well, bang went my romantic view of Christmas. And I thought, well, this isn't going to go down well with the congregation either. I had to work out what to do. But on the other hand, it's no bad thing to have that romantic view of the Nativity challenged, because Luke's account of the Annunciation to Mary here, as before that great day dawned, Luke's Annunciation isn't here to foster a sort of romantic view of Jesus' arrival. It's here to make the point that those who are called to glorify God by particular service have the uncomfortable but ultimately greatly blessed job of trusting the word of God. The first part of chapter 1 covers Zechariah, who was struck temporarily dumb for not believing God's word. Mary, by contrast, does believe it. And it leads her not to silence, as with Zechariah, but to the Magnificat. So if we want to glorify God in our lives and our words, and if that's where you're hoping that your own ministry will lead, Francis, well, Mary's example of belief and trust in God's word is very instructive. So first of all, in this passage, there's a troubling greeting. A troubling greeting. Verses 28 to 29. Now, those verses don't say Mary was terrified at seeing an angel. It says she was greatly troubled at his words. And all he had said to her was, "Hail, O favoured one, the Lord is with you. Your greetings, you all who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Now, I can imagine all sorts of troubling greetings. I can imagine the phone going, me picking it up, and the voice on the other hand, saying, is that the Bishop of Maidstone? This is a journalist from the Daily Telegraph. That's a troubling greeting. Or the police officer who knocks at the door, you know, all they say is good evening, and you say, what's gone wrong? What's happened? So there are troubling greetings, but in Mary's case, she's troubled because the Almighty God has picked her out, told her of his favour, and assured her of his presence. Now, one of the questions that would have been asked when you were ordained, Francis, but it's very pertinent for a day such as today, was, do you believe God is calling you to this ministry? You've even answered questions in this service so far to say you do. Because if you do believe God has called you to this ministry, then like Mary, there is reason to be troubled. It doesn't just mean God is interested in you. It means he's got something in mind for you, for your ministry. And in some ways, we wonder if we are going to live up to it or whether we'll let God down. Maybe Mary was thinking, why me? Can't I just be left alone? She was greatly troubled at the words said by God. So secondly, she asks an obvious question. She asks an obvious question. Now, Mary has been told she's going to give birth to a great son. He will be known as the Son of the Most High. He will reign over God's people forever, just as ancient promise to David came from our Old Testament reading, that there would be one who reign over the people forever. So in verse 34, Mary asks the obvious question, How will this be since I'm a virgin? In fact, the passage as a whole asks us to accept a number of things that most of us would regard as impossible. An angel's appearance, a pregnant virgin, a king who reigns forever. It reminds me of those lines from John Betjeman when he wrote that lovely poem about Christmas. He said, "And is it true? And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall? The maker of the stars, the makers of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me." Well, the Bible makes no attempt to prove that it is so. It makes no attempt to explain these things. It simply states that God took the initiative and the results were witnessed and recorded. And all the angel says in reply is, "Nothing will be impossible with God." Well, Mary could be forgiven for thinking, "Could God really use me like this?" And today, as we perhaps think about our own weakness as human beings, all the ways we've let God down and continue to do so, we too might be asking, "Can God really use me to glorify Christ? To bring people into his kingdom, to help them along the way?" And we come back to that same great statement: nothing will be impossible with God. He specializes in miracles. So thirdly, in the light of this, there is a matter of belief. I said at the start that Luke presents us with a contrast. On the one hand, you've got godly and devout Zechariah, who nevertheless did not ultimately believe God's word to him. And Mary, who says in verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Now, if we had read on into verse 45, of Luke, we would have seen an encounter between Elizabeth and Mary. And Elizabeth exclaims when she sees Mary, "Blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And it's a contrast that is there to teach us a lesson, isn't it? If we start losing confidence in what God has said in his word personally, well, then we'll be like Zechariah. We'll ultimately have nothing to say to others about how God gives us hope. It will lead to ineffectiveness. By contrast, if we have confidence in God's word personally, he will both use us for his glory, and like Mary, we'll have much to say that magnifies the Lord. Now, this isn't just an exhortation, Francis, to you and to all of us to make the Bible and to make Bible teaching the centre of your ministry. It's an exhortation to us personally, to ask ourselves the question, do we trust what God has said in his word? Where are we personally? You remember Paul's word to Timothy, where he says, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching." So if personally we trust in what God has to say, we'll be the sort of person who takes risks, because we're trusting the Lord for the outcome, for the future, for what will happen. If we trust God's word personally, we'll be patient. Teaching doesn't always bring instant results, and sometimes people insist on hearing things that we've never said as ministers. But the fact is that we're not there to demand a particular reaction from people. We're there to teach. And then we're patient, because we trust that God's word will do its work. And if I trust in God's word, well, I won't get stuck in a rut. There is nothing like going systematically through the word of God and seeking to open it up for people that gets you out of particular ruts, because it's always challenging, always fresh, always new, and always a challenge to apply. Lots of things can cause us to trust God's word less, even as we preach that others should trust God's word more. We might personally find ourselves doing that. It may be that in our churches we see no obvious growth. We may experience hardship in our finances or personal relationships. We may get tired. We may feel that work has become dry. Whatever it is, well, as we set out on our next phases of ministry, and as you do that tonight, Francis, here's a passage to encourage each one of us to examine our hearts, to be prayerful, to stay alongside Christian friends who will encourage us, and to keep acting in the light of God's promises. Remember the comparison, the silent Zechariah and Mary of the Magnificat. Amen.
We come now to the Liturgy of Institution. Francis, I wonder if you want to just come here as the people come up and present various items. Thank you. Gracious God, we praise and glorify you because in your infinite love you have formed throughout the world a holy people for your own possession, a royal priesthood, a universal church, that sharing in the ministry of our Saviour Christ, we might be witnesses of what he has done for us. Gracious God, we praise and glorify you.
Francis, be among us as a man who rejoices to bring new Christians to baptism and to share with them the living water, Jesus Christ himself. Together,
by God's grace, we will grow in our faith and discipleship. Together, by God's grace, will be a Christ-like community of love.
Be among us as one who studies the scriptures, proclaims the word, and explores the faith.
Together, by God's grace, we will tell the good news of Christ to the world.
Be among us as a person of prayer, offering the church's liturgy and interceding for God's people.
Together, by God's grace, we will worship God in spirit and in truth. Together, by God's grace, we will seek to be the living body of Christ. Jesus said, "If anyone wants to be my disciple, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Francis, be among us as one who holds onto the cross of Christ and shares it with others. Together, by God's grace, we will walk in the way of the cross.
I pledge myself to lead the community of faith, committed to my charge, to share with them the word of God and the work of ministry, to celebrate with them the sacraments of the new covenant, and to encourage them in their discipleship and ministry. Together, may we make this a place where Christian people are equipped for their life and witness in God's world.
Together,
by God's grace, we give ourselves to the ministry of the gospel in these communities, to work for God's kingdom of justice and peace, and to share the message of Christ.
Francis, the Church of England is part of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, worshipping the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
It professes the faith uniquely revealed in the Holy Scriptures and set forth in the Catholic creeds, which faith the Church is called upon to proclaim afresh in each generation. Led by the Holy Spirit, it has borne witness to Christian truth in its historic formularies, the 39 Articles of Religion, the Book of Common Prayer, and the ordering of bishops, priests, and deacons. In the declaration you are about to make, will you affirm your loyalty to this inheritance of faith as your inspiration and guidance under God in bringing the grace and truth of Christ to this generation and making him known to those in your care? There we go, and we sign various bits of paper. And Mr. Eridine, if you can come and assist us, that would be lovely. Incidentally, the reason why we need a witness is because we don't have a diocesan bishop, and therefore we don't have a license with the bishop's seal, so it has to be a witnessed deed that I hand Francis. This must make riveting viewing on Zoom or Facebook. Now, would you please stand? I, Roger, Bishop of Colchester, acting under powers delegated to me by the Diocese of Chelmsford Area Scheme 1984, as amended by an order dated 22nd of November 2008, and made pursuant to Section 10 and Section 11 of the Diocese Measure, hereby institute and admit you, Francis Charles Blight, as rector of the benefice of Fordham within the diocese and jurisdiction of the Lord Bishop of Chelmsford, to which you are presented by the Reformation Church Trust, patron thereof, and I invest you with all the rights and duties of the said benefice, and commit to you the cure of souls of the parishioners thereof, saving to us and the Lord Bishop of Chelmsford and our successors our episcopal rights, in witness whereof I have executed these presents as a deed this third day of September in the year of our Lord 2020. Francis, receive this cure of souls, which is both yours and mine, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now,
if you'd like to all join Francis and myself as we pray, and we'll just keep some quiet moments in prayer. Do please be seated or kneel as you do so. Francis, remember your baptism into Christ. Remember your ordination in the Church of God. May God, who anointed Mary, that she may proclaim the Magnificat, who anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit, may he anoint and empower you for the blessing of God's people and for the opening of God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Archdeacon, I have instituted Francis to ministry in this benefice. I ask you to induct him in the presence of this congregation and to support him in his ministry here.
By virtue of the authority given me, I induct you into the real, actual, and corporeal possession of the parish churches of All Saints Fordham and Eight Ash Green, with all the rights and responsibilities belonging to them.
Francis, receive the keys of Fordham and Eight Ash Green churches in token of the responsibility share. May the Lord preserve your going out and your coming in, now and always.
Amen. Amen. Francis, I install you as rector of this benefice. Pray for your people. Lead them in worship and service, and encourage them in their witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Francis, would you like to stand? people of this benefice, those watching remotely, those gathered here, I present to you your new rector, now duly instituted, inducted, and installed, and I invite you to greet him and his family in the name of Christ. Give him a huge round of applause. And I commend Francis and Georgina and Tom, Sam and Zoe to your prayers. We welcome you. May the Lord richly bless you and make you a blessing among us. Wonderful. Area Dean.
Francis, it's been a real joy to get to know you over the phone mainly, as we've grappled together with all sorts of interesting dilemmas that you faced already. And that says to me something about our partnership over many things. And I know I speak on behalf of the Deanery that we are what I would call Team Colchester. And that means we work together for the sake of the gospel. We're all diverse and different, have many different approaches in our worship and the way that we will all seek to honour God together. So welcome again and again and again to the Deanery Colchester, and we really look forward to working with you as you continue in your ministry here. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I think we can do a bump, can't we?
Very good. Now, we're going to share the peace. A bit like singing, sharing the peace takes a different form in these strange times in which we live. We're going to share the peace using British Sign Language. So the way that we do that is that for some reason you have to have your fingers up, otherwise it means something completely different. So it's peace be with you. And as I announce the peace, my you will be all of you, so it will be bigger. But when you say it to one another, you just use the same. So peace be with you. Okay? And then you just say that to a few people. If you're near a camera, say it to the camera so that we're not forgetting the people who are watching remotely. But if you'd like to stay. We are the body of Christ. In one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. You now invite them to share the peace with one another.
Let us offer one another a sign of peace.
Peace be with you.
I think I didn't work also. Do please sit down. So we come to our time of prayer.
At the end of each prayer, I'll say, "Your kingdom come." Please would you respond, "Your will be done." And we'll finish at the end with the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your church that we're part of, a global church throughout the world. We thank you for the demonstration of your love for the church in the sending of your Son. Thank you for redeeming us through his death on the cross for eternal life and relationship with you. We thank you that we can trust your sovereignty at this time of social constraint and the fear of infection. Please sustain and strengthen your church at this time. We pray especially for your church in China, where the government won't permit your people to meet online. Please help and sustain the Chinese church. Build your church around the world, Father, community by community. May your purposes prevail. Your kingdom come. We praise and thank you for this church community that you're forming here in Atash Green and Fordham. We thank you for the legacy of faith and gospel ministry that's run over hundreds of years in this building. Please give me your grace and the enabling of your Holy Spirit that I might continue a faithful and biblical ministry in these two villages. Help me to be a faithful shepherd, proclaiming your word, teaching and admonishing, feeding and providing for your family, that they may be saved through Christ forever. Please help me to work out the many aspects of oversight and pastoral work so that the church may be built up across each age group and life stage. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
We ask that you will build up this congregation. We seek a godly peace amongst us and an appropriate fear of you. Comfort us by your Holy Spirit in these times of social distance. And even in this disorientating season, we ask that you might increase our numbers. Please stir up the spiritual gifts of our church family and enable us to serve the building of your kingdom in new and imaginative ways. Particularly, I ask that you form in us a deeper dependence on as individuals and families. May we depend on you wholeheartedly. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
We ask very much for your help in our ministry to children and young people. We've been unable to run ministry groups for 5 months. Key leadership roles have been taken from us. So much has been stripped away this year, Heavenly Father. And so we ask for the work of your Holy Spirit in the church families and in the two schools. Sustain and strengthen the faith of the young people in our community. And we ask that you would please bless the fledgling 11 plus group meeting on Zoom and the plans to begin a younger group. How we need your help at this time, Father. We ask for your provision over the coming months. Your kingdom come. We thank you for your blessing on last Sunday's drive-in service. Thank you that we were able to sing your praises together again after so long. Thank you that many church members came to a live service for the first time since March. Thank you that guests and family members came. We ask for the awakening of faith in response to Andy's message. And please give us wisdom as to whether we should repeat it again. Your kingdom come. A moment of quiet for you to bring people who are on your heart, who need your prayers. And we pray particularly this evening for Michael, Mary Durlacher's brother, in France, recovering from a heart bypass operation. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen him and heal and restore the wounds in his body. Please provide for him at this time, Heavenly Father. And we pray that he may seek you in prayer and in your word. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
We pray for our Chelmsford Diocese. We ask for the provision of a godly man to lead us, who will encourage biblically faithful ministry in the parishes and innovative ways of building your kingdom. Please be merciful to us and provide for us. We ask that you strengthen Bishop Rogers' ministry and enable him to lead here in Colchester. Please prosper the parishes through him. We ask that you bless Bishop Rod's ministry across the country. We thank you very much that he's been provided to help us. And may the appointment of Mark Wallace as his chaplain strengthen and grow his ministry. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
I thank you for the Renew network of churches in Essex and East London. Please will you help us to encourage each other, and may we work effectively together to grow your kingdom. Your kingdom come. We thank you for our Queen and the structure and stability of her government in this country. We thank you for the government's leadership this year, seeking to save lives when the virus first started to spread. We thank you for the rich medical provision that we have in the UK. And we ask going forward this autumn that you will give wisdom and right perspective to Boris Johnson and his cabinet. Your kingdom come. Finally, I pray for my family, for Georgina, Tom, Sam and Zoe. We thank you for bringing us from the Netherlands to Fordham Heath, for giving us a new spiritual home and Christian community. We thank you for the love we've been shown over the last year. Please help us to give and receive in this church, that our love for this church community may grow and increase to your glory. Gathering our prayers and thanksgiving into one, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me this evening, and greetings to all those who are watching on the live stream at the moment. In these unusual circumstances, it means a lot that each of you are here this evening in person. PCC members representing the people of this church, ministers representing other churches in the region, and friends who've traveled from afar to be here today. Thank you for coming. Some items of church news, some church notices. Please join me this Sunday at 10 a.m. for a live service here in the church. Our focus will be on Jesus' teaching on servant leadership in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. The service will be live streamed and then available as a podcast from 2 p.m. Our monthly prayer focus evening will be next Thursday, the 10th of September, starting at 7:30 on Zoom. Please join me to pray for the life and needs of our church and ministries as we head into the autumn season. And on Sunday the 13th, we're planning to have lunch together in our homes. I'd like to encourage as many pairs of church households as possible to share a meal. We're socially restricted at the moment, but this is one small way that we can build up the life of our church at this time. So I encourage you to think and pray about who you can invite and then to give them a call. Further details will be in the Sunday notice sheet. When the service finishes in a few minutes' time, the clergy and I will walk out onto the lawn in front of Fordham Hall. Please come and join us there where we can greet each other with an appropriate 2 metre distance. And shortly after that, the bishops, archdeacon and PCC members will drive down to Atash Green Church, where I will ring the bell to mark the beginning of my ministry as rector in the Atash Green village. Bishop Roger is going to pronounce God's blessing.
If you're able, would you please stand? Almighty God, who for the salvation of the world gives to his people many gifts and ministries to the advancement of his glory, may he stir up in you the gifts of his grace and sustain each one of you in your own ministry. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to go and ring the church bell. If the ministers would like to gather socially distanced by the church door, that would be great.
The Cure of Souls is a ministry alongside all those who live or work in these communities. This church must be open to God's world and to all who seek him. Francis, you are called to help the people who are refreshed here by their worship and fellowship to live out their faith in these communities so that God's love may be known. Together, by God's grace, we will be Christ's people of work in the world. The Lord preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forward and forevermore.
There is one body, one spirit, one hope in God's call.
One Lord,
one faith, one baptism.
And through his Spirit, he gives us gifts.
evangelists, pastors, and teachers he gives us,
so that we can minister together,
to build up his body,
to be mature in the fullness of Christ.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Go in the power of Christ.
We have the gospel to proclaim.
Go in the peace of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
When Christ is ours.